Name. We are here because of a Savior who has changed our lives, and He is just a blessing every day, every single day. We have good news. Julie is doing well. Surgery went well, post-op testing, whatever they do. Good reports. So we praise the Lord for that. Linda has good reports. We praise the Lord for that. And you can hear her story if she wants to tell it. And when Julie comes back, she can probably tell her story as well. So we know that the Lord Jesus answers prayer. And that's why we pray, by the way, just in case we're wondering. Good to have Peg and Duane back with us. Greet them. We have the quarterly business meeting downstairs afterward at 11 o'clock. Of course, can't interrupt the 10:30 to 11 coffee and conversation time. Should be a short meeting. We've really only got one piece of business to take care of, and of course, review the financials of the last 3 months. This week, also, Salvation Army, you got your crew ready to go? Okay, excellent. Helping out Salvation Army next Sunday. Uh-oh, I think I forgot to turn on my microphone. Okay. Little green light, good to go. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday and Benevolence Sunday, first Sunday of the month usually, unless there's an interruption. If you notice, I put in the calendar, because the calendar or the bulletin has sort of become our mini newsletter now, because Wayne used to do the monthly newsletter. You'll notice that things are picking up in August. Four of the ministeriums are starting up in August. The one that excites me most is our ecumenical planning group with the Lutheran churches and Methodist and Presbyterian and Episcopal. Looking forward to what kind of interesting plans. Remember, this group did the Good Friday service this last spring, and it was such a blessing. We had hundreds of people attending those two services. So they're really interested in doing some things together for our community and to declare to our community that we are one in the Lord. That's part of what excites me. And if you didn't know, Rebecca is the driving force behind this group. Bless her heart. But we have a good group of pastors still, eight ladies and Mike, hoping that maybe we can add a few more somewhere along the line, and maybe we can even pick up another guy somewhere along the line. But that'll be exciting to see what kind of plans they have. I have ideas that I would like to do with this group, and one of those ideas is to have a prayer and praise service for our community. You know, that's one of those services where you just sing praise songs, pray for one another, no sermon, no offering, just get together as brothers and sisters in the Lord and celebrate the goodness of God. It looks like All Church Sunday, which is the first Sunday in September, Labor Day weekend. It looks like this year we are going to be having it at Rock Ridge High School auditorium. I forget the name of it. Music Arts Auditorium or something like that. Beautiful setting if you've been in there for some of the concerts that they've been having up there. Got an email this week that's about 90% that's where it's going to be. Got a few questions that still need to be answered that the planning group has asked. They've already applied, paid the fee and so forth. Just need a couple of questions answered. So looking forward to that. The missionary prayer calendar, if you pray for our missionaries, is available. Just came in this week, so it's back there. You can pick one up and add it to your prayer. Brian reminded me that prayer works. He reminded me this morning that the reason we pray is because we have a great Lord and a great God. And honestly, His power, His ability, His willingness to do things is way beyond the faith that we have. So extend your faith, grow your faith in Him so that when you pray, you can just lean heavily on Him and not our own understanding, limited as it is. Brian also reminded me this morning that God is really smart. And sometimes the things that we ask for, the answer that we get is no, because God's got a smarter way of doing it. Thinking of my conversation with Linda, got a smarter way of doing it that works, even though it just boggles our mind. And sometimes it doesn't even seem like it's logical how he goes about things. Our call to worship this morning I've chosen from Philippians chapter 2, the first four verses. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, so that's a question. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, second question. If you have any fellowship with the Spirit, third question. If you have any tenderness and compassion, fourth question. Then, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And our first hymn is number 720, Rise Up, O Saints of God. And why don't we stand as we worship?
Rise up, O saints of God, from vain ambition's cry. Triumphant that your hearts with nobler zeal might burn. Rise up, O saints of God, His kingdom's task embrace. Redress sin's cruel consequence, give justice larger place. Give heed, O saints of God, creation cries in pain. Stretch forth your hand of healing now, with love the weak sustain. Commit your hearts to seek the paths which Christ has trod, and quicken by the Spirit's power, rise up, O saints of God.
Our opening prayer is from Ephesians chapter 1. We've covered this before, so let us pray together. If you would join me. Lord, we keep asking you because you are the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the glorious Father. What we ask is that you would give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know you better. We also ask that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, so that we may know the riches of your glorious inheritance in us, your people here on earth, so that we may know your incomparable great power toward us who believe in you and believe in your Son, Jesus, so that your power, working your mighty strength in us, that same strength that you demonstrated by raising our Savior Jesus, your Son, from the dead, that same strength and power that caused you to seat our Lord Jesus at your very right hand in heaven. We honor you, Father God, because you have exalted your Son, our Savior Jesus, far above all rule and authority, all power, dominion, above everything. Jesus is Lord. We thank you for your goodness beyond our understanding. And so we give you praise and honor this morning as we meet together to honor you. Through your Son's precious name, the name of Jesus, we submit our praise and request to you. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Morning, everyone. This morning, our first reading is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12, and then we'll move on verses 23 through 24. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, for the direct... I lost my spot. Pardon me. There it is. Next is Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. Okay. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For if you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of God.
Ask our usher to come forward. Are you doing the Congo Kids thing? All right. Excellent. Today we also take an offering for our Congo Kids. That's what the little coconut is, as everybody knows. So we'll be passing that around as well. Let's pray together. Father, it is a delight, as your word says. You know us. You know our thoughts. You know our hearts. And we have dedicated our lives to you. So receive from our hearts the gifts that we give to you, not just at this moment, but the gifts of our life, our time, and our talents for you, our lives. Bless this, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We are just poor wayfaring strangers on our way to heaven. Let's stand and sing our blessing to the Lord. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hymn number 731.
Jesus, who transcends the ages, faith and love in us prepare. Save us from our own destruction and the mindset of despair. From our selfish ways, O lead us, jar us from our leisured days. Come in us and lead our spirits into new creative ways. When false loyalty to nation, hate and lust in us conjure, lead us to a right conviction, to affirm what some obscure. And should some revile such action, grant fresh witness to the life of true peace in your salvation and the wrong of human strife. We confess to pleasure seeking and to wealth our poverty. Both destroy what God has given, fouling earth so wantonly. Help us strive with greater effort, nature's beauty to repair. Mindful of our role as stewards over water, land, and air. Jesus, who transcends the ages, faith and love us prepare. May we know the name God's people and to all His grace declare. Though our task at times overwhelms us and we weep faulty, plan new hope, revive our spirits, dare us more, more.
So this morning, as we go to prayer, we need to continue to pray for Faith. We need to continue to pray for Julie's recovery and Linda. Audrey, pray for healing and skill of doctors in the coming weeks, and Jim as well. Probably could pray for Gail too at this point in time for healing. We've got a long list of healing items to pray for. Are there other requests?
Joellen Reeves is having gallbladder surgery on Monday.
Thank you for that reminder. You sent me in. Okay. Other prayer requests. And as you know, when we pray, we also, it's been my habit to continue to pray for all of our brothers and sisters around the world and across the Iron Range. We are one body. We are one kingdom. Despite our differences and sometimes disagreements, Jesus has a kingdom and we are one. Someday we're going to all be together and all those differences will be forgotten because we will see the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and His name is Jesus, and He'll help us sort through all of our earthly kinds of struggles. We are so limited, and I know you all know that, even as we pray. We are so limited in believing in this King who is just beyond understanding. And I'm glad we pray for people who have medical needs because that was the keynote of Jesus' ministry. He went and healed everywhere. And some people struggle with that, say that healing isn't for today. Jesus is for today. And all that He is and all that He has. Anything else that I'm forgetting or unaware of? Let's pray together. First, as we are reminded, Lord God Almighty, we come to You with hearts filled with thanksgiving and gratitude. You are a good God beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding, beyond our faith. You are who You say that You are. And so we honor You with hearts just filled with love and joy and thanks. And together with Your Son, our Lord Jesus, we honor and bow our hearts before You to worship You as God, not just as our healer, not just as our guide, but we worship You as God over all. We bless Your name. We will always bless Your name. We will always glorify You forever and ever and ever. And we have started that mission here to glorify You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for answered prayer, especially the healings that we have noted and continue to note because we continue to bring those requests to You. We thank You for continued recovery for each one that we have mentioned this morning, and for wisdom for medical staff and personnel, including doctors and physicians, who may on occasion need to intervene on our behalf. We ask that You would bless them in their work as well. And what we ask for is healing in the name of Jesus through whatever means. And we are here to say thank You for all of the answers to prayer that You've sent our way. So we ask You, Lord, to be with those with upcoming surgeries for success, that we can testify to the glory of our precious God and our Savior, Jesus. We pray for Joellen, who is not with us, and we pray for success and healing for her, as well as we would pray for a sister who was with us, present. For Faith as well, ask that You would assist her with diminishing the side effects of the treatment that she is receiving, and that the treatment would be completely successful as well. We thank you, Lord, for your continued work in each of our lives. We trust you. We honor you. Once again, Father, we open our hearts wide to our brothers and sisters across the Iron Range, to our brothers and sisters around the world, for the missionaries, pastors, Christian leaders, but beyond them, to all believers. We ask, Lord Jesus, as you did in your prayer when you were here on earth, get us through. Get all of us through. No matter what we are experiencing, no matter what circumstances are in each country, each situation, help us to hold our faith strong and to honor you to the end. We thank you that you are our hope. You are our joy. I would ask, Father, that you would help this group in planning the All Church Sunday. Help them to make good decisions, get good answers, that we might celebrate you together. Beyond that, I ask you, Fathers, in a special way, to help the churches who have participated through the years to make the adjustment so that they can continue to meet with us for that celebration where 600-700 people from different churches can come together and honor your name, the name of Jesus above all names, and declare to the community that Jesus is Lord. We thank you that we can trust you. Ask that you would be with us in our journeys day by day over the next few weeks. Bless our work, our lives, and our hearts, so that we might know you better and love you more. And we thank you for it all. Through Jesus, amen. Hymn number 748. This is an interesting hymn that is in our hymnal, and it reminds me of the hymn that Shirley played for our offertory. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger. So Shirley and I had a conversation this morning, and this song is not in the digital hymnal, but it's in our hymnal written by Robert Stromberg and co-written by James Hawkinson, and we have a few of those hymns in our hymnal that are covenant-related or covenant hymns that are not in the digital hymnal. And Shirley is going to accompany us with her flute. Someday soon.
Like a moment the years go by, like the dew on August mornings, we are warmed by the brightening sky, and our souls long to be one with you. Someday soon, you will come, and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon. Like your wind in the whispering pines, like your eagle soaring o'er us, we are born by some wondrous sign, and are so long to be more for you. Someday soon, you will come and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon. Like the spring after winter snow, like the seedling's hint of harvest, we are drawn by the hope that grows from our longing to be home with you. Someday soon, you will come and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon. Someday soon, Jesus will come back. Within the last few weeks, I lost a dear friend. I worked with her at Grandy's Ace Hardware, and then she went on to work at Menards. She had beaten cancer 3 times. And then the last time I talked with her, she said she was just going to, this was the fourth time, she was just going to quit chemo because of the side effects. That's why I thought we should pray for faith, because that stuff has side effects that is not pleasant, not nice. And Jesus not only can heal, but he can help with the side effects too. Symptoms, sometimes we call them, but from treatment we call them side effects. And Tracy decided that she's done with us, with it. She was a great follower of the Christian television program The Chosen, and the reason I'm mentioning that is because of that hymn. She decided someday soon. Beats all the stuff that she had gone through. She was a trooper. Really fought the battle. And decided, like Paul, I'm torn. I'm torn with between going to heaven, and I'm torn with staying here and ministering to people and blessing people in this life. Tough decision, for sure. But someday soon, all will be over. Either we're going to be here when Jesus comes back. That would be something to see, something to experience. Or we will be with him in heaven and watch him come back for those who are remaining. We continue our study in the book of Acts. We're kind of trudging through the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 18. The book of Acts is often overlooked and rarely preached on because there's not a lot of teaching in there, or I should say it's a little bit more difficult to find the teaching in the book of Acts. But the book of Acts tells us about the birth of the new church, the birth of Christianity, and how it started to spread. Frankly, I wish that somebody had accompanied Peter and James and John and the rest of the apostles as one spread out to minister the word of God in India and China, Matthew, And some went to spread the word in North Africa, and we could have stories, just incredible stories like we have of Paul. But our brother Luke accompanied Paul, and so we have his written memoirs of those journeys, which are very interesting to me. This ministry team, led by Paul, joined by Barnabas, as you remember, Luke, in my opinion, is accompanying Paul. There are others who believe that the first part of first two-thirds of the book of Acts was a series of stories related by Paul to Luke. And we'll hit that point in a week or so, where there is a shift, and you'll notice it if you're reading through the book of Acts, where Luke is always talking about Paul is doing this, and you are doing that, and they were doing that, and so forth. But in a couple of chapters, Luke shifts and uses the word we. And so there's some that believe that's the point where Luke joined the troop. I have trouble with that because we've already been told that many times Luke is there. And so I just think that Luke is accompanying Paul on his journey entirely. What we don't see in the written word clearly, although it is in the book of Acts, but mentioned either earlier or later, that this team of missionaries, I'll call them missionaries, also included Timothy. You remember, Timothy joined the group. Sosthenes, Silas, and John Mark. Those four had accompanied Paul during the first missionary journey, and they've stayed with him. And you'll find those folks mentioned a little bit later in the book of Acts, because they continue to be on the ministry team that travels with Paul. Paul picks up a couple of other folks from his second missionary journey to Macedonia, which was central Greece. He picks up Gaius, Aristarchus, Erastus, and names we're familiar with from last week, Priscilla and Aquila. You say, Mike, where do you get those names? They're mentioned later in the book of Acts as having joined Paul in his efforts during the second missionary journey, and they continue with him. So they've got a ministry team now. This isn't Paul just out on his own, but it's a team. But Paul has a habit. And his habit is an apostolic habit, if you're wondering one of the characteristics of what is an apostle. Apostles are groundbreakers. They plow the ground. And so Paul's habit was sort of like this. When he'd leave a city, he'd launch out and plow the ground and often leave his ministry team behind, who joined him later. He was the courageous one to go where others hadn't gone. And so his mission, his call, is get out there, go where no one has heard the gospel, go where people have been, for example, followers of God, knowledgeable in the Old Testament scriptures, and tell them the Messiah has come. Paul was courageous in that regard, and did some things that others weren't able to do. And so he'd go ahead of these guys, and they'd kind of trail after him. But when they stayed behind, the rest of the team stayed behind, they'd strengthen the people in that particular location. A reminder, what we're reading in Acts chapter 18 is the return trip from his second missionary journey. He's headed back to Jerusalem to to consult with the apostles in Jerusalem. So he comes to Ephesus, and as we read in verse 19, and they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So we find again what Paul is doing very often, almost most of the time. The first thing he does is he goes to the synagogue. And as you know, I've sort of humorously, tongue-in-cheek, said, but Paul, God called you to the Gentiles. But he has this longing in his heart that we read about later in his letters when he says, Mike's version, I tear out my heart for my people, the Jews, if I could. Paul put it a different way. He said, I'd even lose my salvation if the Jews, my people, would come to know Jesus. And of course, we know that's not possible, but you feel this huge longing in his heart for his people. So even though I remind us, sort of tongue in cheek, Paul, you were called to the Gentiles, and as I mentioned last week, there are some times where you have a longing in your heart that is so immense. Maybe for you it's family. Maybe for you it's some friends where your heart is just longing that they would come to the Lord. And I hear testimonies from you. Heard one this morning from Shirley of how you continue to minister, to witness to friends or neighbors or family or whatever, because your heart just aches that they would find Jesus and be able to walk the streets of gold with us someday. That was Paul's situation. Yes, he was called to the Gentiles, but his heart was still filled with a love for his people that they would come to know Jesus as their Messiah. Here at Ephesus, an interesting thing happens. They ask him to stay. Now, all this time, Paul has been so many places and has wanted to stay and minister the word, and yet he's kicked out of town because of those religious leaders that are referred to as the Jews. Interesting to me that Paul here is asked to stay, and he declines. He says no. And I'm going, Paul, come on, buddy. But he explains that he is on a mission. That call, God's call on his heart, is greater even than the request that they made of him. And so he goes via Caesarea, which is an area, and ends up back in his home base of Antioch, which is where his missionary journeys had launched from. But he doesn't stay there. He goes back on the road through Galatia, which is another area in that upper Asian area. And he encounters a new companion starting in verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Now, sort of in English, what that comes out to be is he knew the scriptures like Paul did. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the prophecies. How he got to know that, we don't know. He was acquainted with the baptism of John, but apparently not acquainted
with some of the things concerning the life and ministry of Jesus. And so in verse 26, it says, he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue where Paul is. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. We don't have details about what they explained to Apollos, but apparently it was like an update. Okay, you know all this. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the ministry that's been going on in the world to spread this good news of Jesus. We do know from the verse previous that he had only gotten to the point of knowing the baptism of John, and we had encountered that before. So it's kind of Mike's opinion that when they shared with him, they shared with him beyond the baptism of John. Maybe he had heard stories about Jesus, but now they're going to tell him the whole story about Jesus. And so it says in verse 27, he wanted to go across to Achaia, Apollos did. So the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him, and when he had arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. That is one of the things that Paul did so well. Now, Paul has sort of a companion in this mission. And then we move into chapter 19, still in Ephesus. And it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Now, this next part we're not going to have time to deal with today, but I will note it because it's the Word of God. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Remember, that's where Paulus was at when Priscilla and Aquila got a hold of him. Just the baptism of John. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who is coming after him, that is, in Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we know that baptism was you go down to the local lake, you go down to the local river, and you're baptized in the name of Jesus. And that's what they did. And then verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And there were in all about 12 men. Lord willing, we'll come back to that small segment and try to help clear up this issue of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and prophesying and so forth. But what I wanted to get to is verse 8 through 10. And he entered, this is Paul, he entered the synagogue, and I'm going, again, Paul, you seem to always drift back to this. But again, that's his heart. And continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. So the synagogue is allowing him for 3 months to share about Jesus being the Messiah. This is good news for Paul, because he's faced so much opposition. Verse 9. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, we don't have a lot of detail there,
So we kind of miss this in the reading. He moves from the Jewish synagogue into a Gentile university. That was the school of Tyrannus. He now becomes a university professor about Jesus. This is Paul at his best. But we don't have any more details, except that he stayed there for 2 years teaching. Can you imagine? Can you imagine our local college here or a university where you know and esteem, a secular university, inviting Paul to come in and teach for 2 years a course on Jesus and the Old Testament scriptures leading to the proof that Jesus was the Messiah, teaching about all the miracles that Jesus performed. Could you imagine if Paul showed up in our local college, would you take that 2-year course? Amazing opportunity for Paul. And he takes a hold of it. Verse 10, and this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks, or to retranslate that, Jews and Gentiles. So we have a situation where Paul now is ministering to people from all over Europe, Asia, North Africa, north of Asia into probably what we would have seen as some of the communist countries, because they're all migrating to this university to learn, and he has them as captive audience. A little bit different than the universities of our day. They didn't necessarily divide up into specific course tracks. They just had these teachers and all these people gathered together, and they taught the people. And so they'd have a professor come in and teach about mathematics, or a professor come in and teach this group about science, a particular science. And then they'd have Paul come in and teach about Jesus. And so this university becomes the first seminary to the world to teach and commission people about Jesus to spread the good news. So a couple lessons that we learn. First of all, companions along our walk with Jesus join us. They may not always join us physically, but they join us in heart. They may move to different areas, and some of our kids have moved to different areas. They haven't stuck around near us, have gone on to different jobs, careers, whatever. But in heart, they've joined us because of Jesus. Or friends. Friends have moved away, but they're still in our heart, and we are in their heart because of Jesus. So we find that's what happens with Paul. We just continue on the course so that wherever we are, we're following the will of Jesus and continuing to minister for him. But these companions in Jesus often stay with us for a lifetime. And sometimes you probably do like I do, and you look for notes about them. How are they doing in the Lord? How are they doing in life? And sometimes those notes lead you to prayer because they've been a part of your heart. The second thing we learn is that these companions can sometimes be odd, strange, different than us. That's a good thing. Because difference means that we have different ways of ministering Jesus to the world. And sometimes it's easier for us to accept some of the oddities, and sometimes it's harder to accept some of the oddities. the behaviors that people have. But Paul here is accepting them because of one name, the name of Jesus. And however they want to minister, let them minister, because Jesus is the point. Our last hymn is hymn number 715.
Service called to ministries of grace. We respond with deep commitment, fresh new lines of faith to trace. May we learn the art of sharing side by side and friend with friend. Partners in our caring to fulfill God's chosen end. Christ's example, Christ's inspiring, Christ's clear call to work and work. Let us follow, never faltering, reconciling folk on earth, men and women, rich, poorer, all God's people, young and old, blending human skills together, gracious gifts from God unfold. Thus new patterns for Christ's mission in a small or global sense. Help us bear each other's burdens, breaking down each wall or fence. Words of comfort, words of vision, words of challenge set with care, bring new power and strength for action, make us colleagues free and fair. So God grant us for tomorrow ways to order human life that surround each person's sorrow with a calm that conquers strife. Make us partners in our living, our compassion increase. Messengers of faith, thus giving hope and confidence and peace.
I should mention about the hymns. Some of them have been challenging lately. I've been going through the hymnal, and that's why we're in the 700s right now, and trying to locate hymns and marking them in my hymnal in the office for future reference. And some of them get marked not very singable. So trying to pick those out. So Shirley and I talked this morning, and for next week we are going to pick familiar hymns with her help. Sometimes Mike gets a little erratic in his choices, so we're going to consult this week and pick familiar hymns. Some of the tunes are familiar, but the words aren't so familiar. But some of them, as this last one, have powerful words in them about our commitment like Paul to continue to work together and walk together in the kingdom. So let's bless each other in the name of Jesus.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you, give you, give you.